This pollen is running crazy on me, so please forgive me. You know, we've been talking over the last few weeks about Jesus' love language. And that's meaning how he shows love to us. He shows love to us by serving. He shows love to us by teaching. And today we're going to talk about the fact that he shows love by giving. Giving is one of his love languages. In fact, giving is one of Jesus' greatest attributes. He loves to give. You know where he gets it? He gets it from his Father. John 3:16-17, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son to the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. The facts are, Jesus not only loves to give, he's the best gift ever. I don't know if you've experienced office gift-giving parties. And when you find out so-and-so drew your name, you get excited because they always give the best gifts. I've never been known for that. Jesus is the one that gives the best gifts. I don't know anybody who doesn't like receiving gifts. In the natural, if we're honest, sometimes we get gifts that we don't want or can't use. But even then, we can readily acknowledge the generosity of the giver. When someone gives us something, no matter how big or how small or how important or unimportant, we recognize and appreciate, we should, their sacrifice. They could have kept it for themselves. They could have given it to someone else. They could have, we could have been the farthest thing from their mind, but we weren't. I don't know how many of you are country fans. I'm not a big one, but I have listened to some in my life. And I'm reminded of a Willie Nelson song, "You Were Always on My Mind." Jesus is the ultimate gift giver. And the awesome thing is that we're always on his mind. We are always on his mind. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. Earlier there were a lot of priests, for they died and had to be replaced. But Jesus' priesthood is permanent. He's there from now to eternity to save anyone who comes to God through him. And he's always on the job to speak up for them. Other versions say Jesus lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. That word intercede means to negotiate, to plead, to intervene, to arbitrate, to mediate, to advocate. Honestly, if that's the only gift Jesus would give us, that'd be plenty, his intercession. There's no greater gift than have Jesus intercede on our behalf. But that's not the only gift. He's got plenty of them. We're just going to talk about four of them today. Peace is the first one that comes to my mind. The very first one. Jesus loves us by giving us peace. When Jesus was preparing the disciples for his soon departure, we see this in John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The Amplified says, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Well, that's awesome, isn't it? We love hearing that. But I wonder how many times we apply that or look for that. I can't tell you how many times I have needed the peace of God. There have been times in which I might be headed into a situation that I dread, and God's peace is there. There are times when I find myself in a frightening situation and God's peace is there. There are times in which I find myself in an overwhelming situation and God's peace is there. And here's what I've found. That Jesus readily dispenses the gift of peace. I can remember a situation I found myself in years ago. It's probably, 25, 28 years ago. And all of a sudden there was impending danger. I needed a master link for my motorcycle's chain. It was late in the day. Started calling shops nearby to see if they had one. After calling a bunch of them, I found one shop near my house. He was still open. and they had one. Turned out the name of that business was Skull's Motorcycle Shop. Now that really didn't concern me because that's not uncommon in the motorcycle world. You see skulls all the time. They just do that. And actually, I didn't know this, but the reason they picture a skull is a skull without the mat, the skin on it. You can't have any, you can't tell whether it's male or female or race or anything. It is just, we are all that way. It's gross. I know it's gross, but that's just, at least there's a reason. I didn't know. I thought they wanted us all dead, but that wasn't it. But anyway, so the name of the place didn't bother me. So I went in, talked to Skull, the owner, and found out that he once was associated with the Hell's Angels. Well, that did it. I felt a tinge of fear starting to rise up in me, but I remained calm. Stupid me, I brought up the fact that I have an acquaintance of mine had once been in the Hell's Angels, and I told him his name was Barry Mason, or maybe how you know him is Barry, as he was known in the Hell's Angels. Well, everything changed. That didn't go over so well for some reason. I don't know why, but it didn't go over so well. Skull then said this to me, "It's not a good thing that you know him." And suddenly, every biker in the room perked up and started looking at me. Then I began looking around the shop, finding a way for a quick exit if that was the case. I needed to make a fast getaway, and I realized there were aquariums without water in it full of snakes all over that place and guns everywhere. And when I mean say guns everywhere, I mean that. They were everywhere. I don't know why I hadn't seen that when I first walked in, but I didn't. But it's a case of, and when you hear the rest of the story, you'll understand, that God allowed me to be in because he had some purpose, and I couldn't understand, was it my time to go? Was that your purpose, God? Are they going to kill me just because I know somebody? Well, then I began to talk about the fact that Barry Mason became a Christian, and he traveled all around the world sharing the good news of Jesus. Every one of them listened intently as I was talking. And I noticed when that was happening, all fear had left. Not even a trace of it. I knew that what I was feeling was the peace of God. Before I left, surprisingly, they asked me to pray for them. So we gathered in a really large circle away from the guns and the snakes. And I prayed that God would reveal himself to these men and heal them and deliver them. When I got back in my car, I noticed that Susan had been paging me. This is way before cell phones. My pager probably ran my battery almost down because she paged me so many times, wondering where in the world I was. So I called her when I got to the phone booth and told her, and had quite a story to tell her. But there are countless other examples of the peace of God in my life, but that's the most vivid, that Jesus loves us by giving us peace. Have you ever been in a place that you should have been afraid, but you weren't? Have you ever been in that situation? Under my breath, I was calling upon the Lord because I had gotten myself in a place that I didn't really kind of bank on. But God had an eternal purpose. Not only did he show me about peace, he showed me that if I just hang on with him, he's going to do something. And one of the things about the Hell's Angels is you can't quit the Hell's Angels. They kill you. And the pure reason, the pure fact that Barry Mason was still alive was countercultural to the Hell's Angels, which means they were probably still looking for him. And if these guys had friends there, I could be their mouthpiece, or I could be their direction finder. Of course, I didn't know where he lived. Glad for that. But when they said it's not good that you know him, he was one that quit and lived, therefore an enemy to the Hell's Angels. So I've counted on God's peace in so many instances, and I've seen him come. And sometimes it took great faith. At that moment, I didn't even have time to have faith. Because all of a sudden, it was surrounding me. But sometimes you know going into something that you're going to need his peace. And then you have to engage your faith. You got to believe that he'll do what he says he'll do. That he will make a way where there is no way. That he will come and settle you down. Now when we talk about the gifts that Jesus brings, maybe these aren't some of the gifts that you think of. But I can tell you that I would not have, there is not another gift I would have wanted from Jesus right then in peace. That I didn't have to cower down. I didn't have to change what I was going to say. In fact, I felt him leading me the whole way. What's another gift that Jesus bestows upon us that shows he loves us? Wisdom. Wisdom. Jesus loves us by giving us wisdom. Listen to what James wrote in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is there. He is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. Message version says, if you don't know what you're doing, which is my case in many times, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help, and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. Here's what I've found very interesting. Is that when I'm in a place of needing God's wisdom, one of the ways God shows me he's given me that wisdom and the answer that I seek is his peace. So sometimes we can see several of his gifts working together. Jesus loves us by giving us wisdom. Another gift of love is direction. Jesus loves us by giving us direction. Psalms 37, 23, and 24, the steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord. And he delights in his ways and blesses his path. When he falls, he will not be hurled down because the Lord is the one who holds his hand and sustains him. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I'll answer you. And I'll tell you, and even show you, I love this version, great and mighty things. Things that which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. He'll show us that. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete. For he will not speak on his own initiative. He will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. Jesus loves us by giving us direction, the gift of direction. The next gift, maybe you've never thought about, is that Jesus gives us identity. Not only does he give us direction, not only does he give us wisdom, not only does he give us peace, he gives us identity. Jesus loves us by giving us identity. John 10:3 says, the doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, and the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to it. And knowing that they listen, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out to pasture. He knows our name. He even knows the nickname that your family has given you. He knows who you are. Luke 12:7 said, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You're far more valuable than many sparrows. Isn't that good news? We are more valuable than many sparrows. We are so valuable, he knows the intricate details enough. Now, how many hairs on your head? I got a question for Jesus. Wonder how many hairs are left in my comb in the morning. I don't know if any of you find that happening. But I think if he knows what's on my head, he'll know what I'm losing too, right? 1 Peter 2:9, I love the identity that he speaks to us in these verses, in this verse. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He knows who we are. He knows the plan that he's given us. He knows the situations that you're going to find yourself in. In fact, he delights in you being in a situation that you can't figure out on your own. Because with the invitation, he begins to give you his answer. You don't have to worry about your answer. He begins to give you his answer. God loves for us to lean on him that way. You say, well, doesn't that make us weak? No, it doesn't. Listen, when the Bible says that when we're weak, we're actually strong. That's a kind of a paradox, isn't it? When we're weak, we are strong. When we're weak in the things of God, Jesus gives us strength. Jesus loves us by giving us identity. We're not just one of the masses. No, we're an individual with a plan for our life, a God-given plan for our life. He loves us by giving us that identity. And just as there's not enough room for all the volumes listing everything that Jesus accomplished on his earth, there is not enough room for the pages and pages of list and list of all the things that Jesus gives to us. As the children's song goes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, for the love letter from God tells me so. And listen, this is a simple reminder. What God gives us is not only for us, but for us to share with the world. What if Paul and Silas had said, this freedom is for us, and I'm just going to pick up, and we're going to go do our thing? No, they didn't. They understood that there was something that God wanted to do in them with this. And we read in 1 John 3:16, by this we know and have come to understand the depth and essence of his precious love, that he willingly laid down his life for us because he loved us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the believers. The fact is, Jesus is all about reproduction. And he's left us here to reproduce in others what he's done for us. And maybe you're wondering, well, what in the world do I do? Philippians 2:14 and 15. First, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. This last verse, this last sentence. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Another little children's song. This little light of mine, the light that Jesus gives us, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Listen, I'm not going to let this place that I need Jesus so much in my life stop with me. I'm going to allow it to reproduce in others. What if Paul and Silas thought that that freedom was just for them? Then there was a whole household of people that wouldn't have been saved. What has God set you free from, and what does he want in return? What does he set you free from, and how will that freedom move you into a strategic place that Jesus wants to use you? Think about how he has loved you with an everlasting love, the Bible tells us. He loves you with an everlasting love. But we're tangible people. We need to see how Jesus loves us. When he gives us that peace, that's the love language he speaks. When he gives us a wisdom, that's the love language that he speaks. When he gives us direction, that's a love language that he speaks. When he gives us identity, that's a love language that he speaks. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I don't want to waste what God has done in me by keeping it to myself. Yes, the shackles are off of my ankles, but it's like I'm free without purpose. And if you're free without purpose, you're going to wander back into captivity, because that is a place, oddly enough, of comfort. But when we are delivered with purpose, we're going to say yes to whatever Jesus says. We're going to make room for Him. Yes, Jesus. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to get direction from You. I want to get wisdom from You. I want to get peace from You. I know my identity is in You. So you have done something in my life. So what's next? I want the body of Christ to think about the what next. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to give you a place in eternity. You remember, His heart is that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. And there's still a lot of people that don't know Jesus. And we can think about that and then move it off. Or we can think about that and ask God, well, how can I be a part of this? What's next? Jesus, thank You for doing all these things and showing me how much You love Him. But what's next, God would say. I want to use You. In the end of that Skull's motorcycle shop saga is I sent the Skull Barry Mason's book that just chronicled everything. And he got it right before he was arrested and sent to prison. And he took it to prison with him. Now, I don't know if Skull made it out of prison or not. But what I do know is that instead of being wrapped up in fear, I was willing to do the what next. It's not up to me what happens in other people's lives. I can't change their heart. But I can be an instrument that God can use to prompt people, to show people the way. And most likely, he thought, well, I'll just scare this guy off. He doesn't look like he belongs in this place. And I'm kind of glad I didn't look like I belonged there, right? He said, I think we'll scare him off and I'll mess with him a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it was all in jest. But something happened, because generally, inside of Skull's motorcycle shop, there's not a desire for prayer. And I didn't push it on him. I didn't even tell them what I did for a living. But they asked me, will you pray for us? And what a privilege that was. As long as the snakes were in the background. We weren't going to snake handle at the shop. But I held those men's hands and probably have never seen them again. Probably will never see them. Won't even know if I see them again. But what I do know is I was able to do the what next. Because I received the gift of peace. Now that can go with everything. Everything that Jesus has for you is for eternal purposes. Everything that Jesus gives you is so that you can do the what next. It might not be at Skull's motorcycle shop, but it might be at Publix. It might not be holding hands with a bunch of motorcycle folks. But it may be at another store that you go to. It may be when you least expect it, that you'll be reminded of the freedom that you've been given, the gifts that Jesus has given you. And He has actually sent us out. He says, go therefore and do what I've been doing. That's my paraphrase. Do the stuff that I've been doing. And you don't have to worry about the results. We just be obedient. That's all we are, is to be obedient. Well, Jesus, I acknowledge You gave me these gifts. I see them all around my life. But have I ever asked You what's next? Have I ever asked You, what am I to do now? How are You going to use this to further your kingdom. And you've got to understand that since God wants none to perish, everything we do is about furthering their kingdom. That's what he wants from us. That's the mandate in our life, is to further the kingdom of God. And that is basically just sharing your story. Living like Jesus as best you can. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. There have been times I've gone in a store and I know that God told me to pray for this lady and I didn't do it because I was in a hurry. I've even said, Susan, we got to turn around and go back to that store. And that's harder to do. It's easier to do it right there on the spot. It's harder to do if you've got to tell your wife you disobey God and you got to go back. It doesn't matter if we're late or not. You got to go back because I was supposed to pray for that lady. That's the what next. The what next is so very important where you are today. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the shackles that have come off your ankles? What are you going to do with the peace that passes all understanding? What are you going to do with knowing that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation? What are you going to do next? What are you going to do with what God has deposited into your life? Keeping in mind, he's got eternal purposes for everything. And listen, we are not going to be perfect. But God loves it when we trust him. God loves it when we make an effort. And one of the things I found as I was sitting in that crazy motorcycle shop is that if I didn't let fear in, then I wouldn't be scared. I couldn't do it in my natural. Everything in my natural would have said, get out of here. But the peace of God was there. See, when God, Jesus gives you things, it's not just for you. I was grateful that I felt that peace. And I honestly just fell into the what next. I can't say it was a purpose. Oh, I've got to pray for them now. It never hit me. I think it would have if they hadn't asked. But God was so gracious to me that I fell into the place. But see, I had already committed to trusting him wherever I was. I'd already rebuked the fear. And he still let my mouth run, and it got me into more trouble, it seems. But I fell into the what next, and sometime that happens. But that should awaken you that there is a what next. And next time you maybe have to be the one. I maybe have to be the one that steps into it. The uncomfortable step that you step out of the boat. Jesus, I know you're asking me to do this. And I know that's water there. And okay, I'll step. Are you concerned about the what's next? Jesus is. He's concerned about every aspect of our life. And if he gave you a problem-free life without any effort, without any of that stuff, you would never give him credit for it. As good as you are, human nature, if it's easy, we just are coasting, aren't we? But when things get difficult, it makes you think, wait a minute, I'm in a mess here. This can go either one or two ways, and neither one of them are good. Jesus, I commit to you the what next. I commit to you the what next. I want to be someone that is ready for the what next. I want to be someone that is watching for the what next. I don't want to be caught off guard. I left that motorcycle shop in pure shock that all that had transpired. I couldn't believe it. It took an hour to get Susan calmed down to what could have happened to you. But Jesus has all these gifts for us, far more than we're able to talk about today. But he gives you those gifts for the what's next. It's daily. Invite his presence into our life. Daily, watch for the what next. One of the things, we've got a few things in our life that seem to be trying to strangle at us a bit. And human nature is when when something familiar happens that way, or maybe that situation looks like it's getting worse, your tendency is to talk about it among ourselves and just, I can't believe this is happening. What if we replace that with making room for worship? What if the very next time someone comes against you, that instead of responding, that you just make room and you worship? You just make room. You have clear off what you were going to do. And listen, I can have a great plan of how I'm going to get that person for doing that. But that's not what Jesus wants. When I worship, that's when you find out the what next. When you worship, He blesses you in a way. It's like we've got one granddaughter, and when we see her, she just runs to us. That's what Jesus says. He just sees us running to Him. And He picks us up, and He holds us tight and says, it's going to be okay. No matter what you're facing, it's going to be okay. And by the way, when it gets okay, look at what's next. Because I'm going to use you in that exact same situation. You're going to be one that gives out of where you've been healed. You're going to be one that has been done wrong, yes, but you're going to be one that gives life out of where you've been where you have been done wrong. And listen, all of us have been that way. But Jesus loves us with an everlasting love, and He is so gracious that He doesn't give us what we deserve. Because I don't deserve anything. But He graciously gives us these gifts. And He has this love language that speaks life to us. And we're never alone. We're never all alone. Jesus is right here with us. And sometimes you need to tell yourself that. I feel alone. But I know Jesus' word. This love letter that He wrote to me says that He's going to never leave me or forsake me. He is here. He's right here with me. And He's supporting us when we feel the weakest. What I found is wherever you invite Jesus into, He'll come. He'll come to skulls. He'll come to wherever you need Him. I love that about Him. And He wants to come. He never comes begrudgingly. You know, when our kid keeps bugging us about something, we're going to do it for him. Jesus is not like that. Jesus is just sitting on ready. Oh, they got a desire in me. I'm there. They need me for something. I'm there. They don't want to go this life alone. I'm there. That's what Jesus is, closer than a brother. I think He's challenging the church to start thinking about the what's next. Yeah, maybe things are going great right now for you, and that's awesome. You need to write a book and sell it. But something's going to come that rocks the boat a bit, a little storm. And I want you to think, first thing, what's next? What's next? What is God going to use me to do? I know He won't waste this situation. I know He could have stopped it, but He didn't. So it means I've got to go through it. Sometimes you go through it. Sometimes you get aborted out of it. Sometimes you go over it. Sometimes you go under it. But unless God changes it, you're going to go through it. What's next? I don't want to fail this. I don't want to keep getting tripped up on this same thing because I'm not making room for Him to move. Maybe I make room in my own mind. I'm complaining about all this stuff. And you think, well, God's going to pick up on that. No, God wants you to turn to Him and say, I can't do it. I can't have a good attitude about these people here. I just can't. I'm not pointing at y'all. I'm pointing down. I can't. There are people in your life you cannot have a good attitude with, about. Make room. Worship. Clear the table and worship. Even if it's a minute long. It can be longer, it can be shorter, but it's a heart thing. That, wait a minute, I'm not going to fall down that same track again. I'm not going down that rabbit hole again. Nope, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to clear the table and I'm going to worship. And by worshiping, you're making room for Him. And He'll guide you. And He'll give you more gifts. He'll overwhelm you with His goodness. The peace you can't even describe. The identity. We didn't choose to be. We think we chose, but God chose us. But God wants us to think about the what's next. Today, when someone ticks you off, think what's next. When someone steals from you, think about what's next. When someone discredits you, think about what's next. When someone tries to ruin your reputation, what's next? See, when we say what's next in an attitude of worship, oh, the joy that God has. He can't wait to answer that. He can't wait to show you. Back to that Hebrews verse. Let me get back to it real quick. It is so important. I know I'm going a little bit long, but let me find it real quick. Well, it's in here somewhere. I can't find it. Yeah, it's somewhere. Well, that's that one. I thought I did another one in Hebrews. Oh, well, I can't find it. But anyway, I know that God's word is true. And God has, He will give you things you've never considered, the things that you know not of. There's so much we know not of. Yet we act like we had a PhD in that, don't we? We act like we know it. But God will give us insight into situations that'll help you, yes. But there's also a what next. Ask Jesus, what's next? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.